age 10, 11, something like that, down. They'll have her church back there. The rest of you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter number 24. Chapter number 24. I'll try to preach to you this morning on the resurrection. I'll try to tell you some things maybe that you don't know, that you're not familiar with. We're going to read Luke chapter 24. We're going to read the first 12 verses here in just a little bit. Let us bow our heads and we'll pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon His holy words before I start, and then we'll go on. Father, we come to Thy throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray that You'd help us this morning. Lord Jesus, please come and meet with us, and may the Spirit of God help us and be our teacher. And bless Your people this morning, please, and help me, I pray. And take these words and apply them to the hearts of people in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are so awesome that it may be hard for me to understand. And I just have to believe them and take them by faith. For instance, you take in Joshua chapter number 10, the Bible says there that the sun stood still and the moon stayed. We have a nice nursery back there if you need it, back over around this way. So the things that are in the Bible that are sometimes hard to understand and maybe even hard to believe. The sun stood still and the moon stayed. That's happened to Joshua when he was leading the children of Israel. Or the sun stopped, or God stopped the sun and turned it backwards 10 degrees. That was what He did for King Hezekiah. That's an awesome thing. And then the Bible tells us that God opened up the Red Sea and He allowed 2 million people to cross over the Red Sea. Some people don't believe that, and they call it the Reed Sea. But, you know, you'd have a hard time having all those Egyptians to drown in a sea of reeds. Amen. It was a Red Sea, and 2 million people walked across. These things are not any greater than Genesis chapter 1, where God said in verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and He created all things in 6 literal days. And again, some people don't believe that God did that in 6 literal days. They think a day means maybe a million years or something like that. I had a fellow seated in my kitchen this week. I was talking to him, and that's what he believed. Bible says in Genesis chapter number 1, on day number 1, God said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said the first day, He said, let there be light, and there was light. That's just light from God. That's not the sun. The sun hasn't appeared yet. And then He said in day number 2, He created the firmament, the space up here. He created that. And then on day 3, He let trees and grass and all that. And then on the fourth day, He created the sun. And some people think those days are, you know, they're a million years long, but they're not. The Bible doesn't say that. They are 24 hours each, 24 hours. God didn't need a million years. If He did, how would that grass stay there for a million years without any sun? See, that'd be kind of hard for that to happen. Amen. God didn't need a million years. He created everything in 6 days of 24 hours each. These are things in the Bible, and I just believe those things by faith, even though I cannot see them. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, God can do anything that He pleases. So we can't even say, we can't go to God and say, what doest thou? What are you doing? You know, He knows what He's doing. And He does whatever He wants to. Brother, He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He can make a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man have a baby. That happened with Abraham and Sarah in Genesis chapter, whatever it was there, chapter number 21 is where they had the child. And He does things like that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is something for me that has never been too hard to believe. It's not hard for me to believe. I believe it, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's part of salvation. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you must believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse number 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a heart thing in your heart. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord, that he died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead. And so look in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter number 24, and verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 12. It says in verse number 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? These two men, they're angels there. They're talking to these women. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in themselves at that which was come to pass. Now, that's the main part of that story. It's given to us in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's not hard for me to understand. I don't think it's hard for you to understand, but there's still a lot of misconceptions, or there are myths concerning the resurrection. I'm going to give you a couple of those. I hope I don't bust anybody's bubbles, you know, ruin your day or anything by telling you some things here. But there are some myths associated. They are worldwide associated with, this is not my sermon. It's just going to give you this right quick as by way of introduction here. Number one is the term of Good Friday. Good Friday. What's good about Good Friday? The only thing good about Good Friday is that, well, there's nothing good about Good Friday. Jesus Christ was not crucified on Friday. He was not crucified on Friday, but worldwide, everybody celebrates Good Friday. Bible says in Matthew 12 and verse number 40, Jesus spoke these words, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man, that's Jesus, be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He didn't say 2.5 days. He didn't say 2 days. He said 3 days and 3 nights. That is 72 hours. He said just like Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. Jonah being a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just like Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall also the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You can figure it however way you want to. Try to figure out 3 days and 3 nights with Jesus Christ being crucified on Friday. It won't work, folks. Jesus Christ was crucified on Wednesday. He was crucified on Wednesday. He died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They took his body off the cross. They put it in the grave. They had it prepared by 6 o'clock that night. He stayed in the grave. He stayed in the grave until Saturday night, 6 o'clock. That's 72 hours. He arose from the dead any time after 6 o'clock on Saturday night. That is the end of the regular Jewish Sabbath. That is just one more myth that people, you know, talk about out there, and it is not true. Jesus Christ was crucified on Wednesday, no doubt about it. That's myth number one. Myth number two is the term Easter. You notice we didn't use the term Easter up here. We know what people are talking about. Nobody's going to hell for using the term Easter or anything like that. I'm not saying that. The term Easter is found one time in the Bible. It's found in Acts chapter 12 and verse number 4. It is talking about a pagan holiday celebrated by King Herod, who was not a Christian. It had nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The term Easter does not mean the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Although people use it, we know what they're talking about. Neither does Easter bunnies or Easter eggs. None of that kind of stuff has anything to do with the resurrection. You can turn over there and read it sometime. Study it out. Acts chapter number 12, verse 1 to 4. Herod, King Herod, said after Easter, that was his holiday. He celebrated, he's a pagan. That's just a myth that goes around out there, and there's nothing to it. Myth number 3. Jesus Christ did not rise bodily, but he rose spiritually. That's what some people believe. Of course, I don't believe that. He rose bodily from the grave. Brother, if he didn't rise bodily from the grave, we're in big trouble. If he didn't rise bodily from the grave, he's probably not going to come back bodily to pick us up. I want Jesus Christ to come back. Lord Jesus Christ, come today. Come today. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. See, the Lord himself, he's coming down into the earth's atmosphere. He's going to call up those who are alive. That's the resurrection later on. It was a physical, bodily resurrection. They saw him, touched him, he ate with them. In your Bibles, in Luke chapter 24, look in verse number 39 and 40 of that chapter. Luke 29, verse 39, Luke 24 and verse 39 and verse 40. Jesus said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Brother, whenever Jesus Christ comes back, guess what? The Bible tells us this in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 10. It says, they, listen carefully, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. When Jesus Christ comes back in his body, he's going to have a scar right here where Roman soldiers took a spear and pierced his side. And the Bible, that's in John chapter 19. And the Bible says, therefore came water and blood out. You see, and when he comes back, he is now seated in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, but he's in a man's body. He is in a glorified body, but those scars are still there. And whenever Jesus Christ comes back, they'll look at him, there'll be that scar there in his side where he was pierced for our sins on the cross there. That's Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 10, and Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 6. Whenever Jesus Christ comes back, here's what somebody's going to say to him. And one shall say unto him, what are those wounds? What are these wounds in thine hands? Wounds in his hands. They're going to ask him, say, what are these wounds in thine hands? And the Bible says, then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. He can show people the wounds in his hands where they drove the nails, and they drove the nails in his feet. Those wounds are there eternally. Those wounds are there forever. They will always be there, you see. And that's, somebody said, that's the only thing in heaven made by man is the wounds and the scars of Jesus Christ. He said, one shall say unto him, what are those wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Can you imagine that? The house of his friends? That would be the house of Israel. He's calling them friends, the people that wounded him. Do you remember whenever Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And Judas Iscariot came and they brought soldiers with him. And he said, look, I'll point him out to you. I'll plant a kiss on the one that is the one you want. He went over to Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said to him? To Judas Iscariot, he said, friend, wherefore art thou come? Why are you here? Calling the man that sells him out for 30 pieces of silver his friend. He calls us friends. Amen. Whenever we do things wrong, He still calls us friends. He still calls us His friends, you see. People who crucified Him. The house of Israel. I was crucified. They drove nails in my hands in the house of my friends. I was wounded in the house of my friends. Quite a man there. Quite a man. Let me make a few observations about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not taking the points all from the text here, although we will refer to it. But I'll say this, number one, that Jesus Christ prophesied of His own resurrection. It is not an accident or it is not an unplanned event where Jesus Christ died on the cross. You know, they didn't just all get mad at Jesus all of a sudden and go grab Him and say, we're gonna crucify this man. Jesus said, this is what's going to happen and this is what I'm going to do. He prophesied of His death, burial, resurrection. I'm going to flip back here to chapter 9 in the same book, Luke chapter 9 and verse number 22. And here's what Jesus said in Luke 9:22, saying, here's what He said, a year or so before He was crucified, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Can you imagine that? He's explaining to His disciples what is going to happen. He said, I'm going to die crucified. I'm going to suffer many things. And then I'm going to rise from the dead. He prophesied of His death and His burial and resurrection. David prophesied this in Psalm chapter 16, verse number 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, speaking about himself. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, speaking about the Holy One, Jesus Christ. His body would not stay in the grave and see corruption in the grave. The reason that He didn't see corruption, His body, I don't know. I don't want to talk about what happens when somebody dies, a dead body or anything like that, but you wouldn't want to know about it. But Jesus Christ's body did not see corruption because it's sinless, a sinless body. That's what causes death, is sin. The Bible says, Romans 5:12, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Jesus Christ never sinned. I told you last week, He couldn't have died unless He allowed them to take His life, you see. That's number one, Jesus Christ prophesied of His resurrection. Number two, the apostles did not understand the resurrection. You would think they'd get it. You'd think after following Jesus Christ around for 3.5 years, that they would understand what He said. He said, I'm going to suffer at the hands of wicked men. I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die. They're going to put me in a grave and I'm going to rise from the dead then. But they didn't get it. They did not understand. They followed Him around for 3.5 years, but still. These women here came to the grave. Now, what does it say there? They brought spices that they had prepared for the body and certain others with them. They came fully expecting to find the body of Jesus Christ in the grave. They came there. They knew Him. They probably saw Him do miracles, following Him around. But yet now then, He's been dead. He was dead for 3 days and 3 nights. And they come there fully expecting Him. He's going to be in the grave, His body. But they came there and they don't find Him. He's not in the grave. They did not understand about the resurrection. Look in verse number 5 of the text there. That's Luke 24 and verse number 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek you the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake to you when He was yet in Galilee. And then in verse number 10, it says, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. In verse number 11, look at it. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. See, they've been with Jesus for 3.5 years, walking with Him, seeing Him preach and perform miracles, and all of these kinds of things. They looked and watched Him, and now then they're fully expecting to find Him in the grave. They did not understand the resurrection until Jesus Christ appeared to them. They didn't get it. See, the apostles did not understand the resurrection. I would say a third thing t- to you this morning, and this, that's this. Before the foundation of the world, the resurrection was assured. Before the foundation of the world, the resurrection was assured. I want you to look up, I think it's about three or four verses here with me. Turn over first off to the last book in the Bible. It'll be chapter number 13. Chapter number 13, and look at verse number 8. Chapter 13 and verse number 8. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8, it says, this be during the tribulation period, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, speaking about the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life. Now look at the phrase here, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Listen carefully. In the mind of God, it was planned and it was as good as done. Amen. Back there at the foundation of the world. It was planned in eternity past, but it took place in time 2,000 years ago. Right. In the mind of God, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Turn to your left just a little bit from Revelation and go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and the verse number, we'll read a couple of verses there, 18, 19, and 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Look at verse 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot," verse 20, "who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Now you see the word foreordained. That is, what we preach about all the time was predetermined, foreordained. God figured it out and God planned it in eternity past. At the foundation of the world, he said, this is what's going to take place, because he knew what mankind was going to do. Turn a little bit more to the left there from 1 Peter and go to the book of Titus, chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. It says in verse number, I'll read verse 1 and 2. "Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness." Verse 2 is what I want you to get. "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Now, tell me something. Who was there before the world began for God to make any promise to except His Son? Right. Amen. Nobody else was there. Right. Listen carefully. Before the world began, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. They are one in being. That's God. But they are different in their roles. God is one God, but He manifests Himself in three persons. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, for the Lord our God is one Lord." But God in eternity past, I'll tell you what, folks, it's like more than I can comprehend. Yeah. Bible says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." God the Father, and the Word, and the Holy Ghost. God said, "What are we going to do about those people down there?" The Word of God said, "I'll become flesh. And I'll go down and I'll bear their sins. I'll become a man. And I'll bear their sins and I'll die on the cross for their sins." And God said, "Okay, if you'll do that, if you'll pay the penalty for their sins, I will give eternal life to everyone that believes. And when you come out of that grave, I will raise your body from the dead. But you will have to live in a body for all eternity then." That was the promise, that was the covenant that God made with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, before the world began, so that we could have eternal life. God predetermined it. He worked it out, but it came to pass in time 2,000 years ago on a cross in Jerusalem. God said, I will become flesh. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, God became flesh. God became a man. But He worked it all out in eternity past before the world began. He made a covenant with Himself, if you would say it like that. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'll go down and I'll bear their sins in my own body on the tree. And God says, okay, I'll give eternal life to everyone that believes. And then I'll raise you from the dead. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that was showing that God was pleased with what He did. That God was pleased with that sacrifice that He made on the cross, you see. That's the covenant that God made. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 38, I thought I could quote it, but it slipped my mind. Can't do it, but it says there that all that believe are justified from all things. And so that's why today that Jesus Christ is in a body. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and one day God's going to tap him on the shoulder and he's going to come back down. He's going to say, it's time, son. It's time to go back down. He will come down. The fourth thing I would say to you is because of these things, there is a resurrection now for the Christian. There's a resurrection for us. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 19, because I live, ye shall live also. You cannot keep the body of a saved person in the grave. It will rise from the grave. Or if Jesus Christ comes soon, before we die and go to the grave, Sister Ruby Fox, don't you hope that takes place soon? You won't have to die. I won't have to die. The Lord Himself, as I told you a while ago, will come down into the earth's atmosphere. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, brother. The dead people out in those bodies out there in the grave will rise up from the dead when He says, come up hither. He will say, come up hither. And then we which are alive and remain, we'll go up with Him, see. Bible says we're to comfort one another with those words. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is a resurrection for every Christian. I'm talking about someone who is saved, not just in name only. Those who are saved and born again. Jesus said in John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There is life beyond the grave because the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I would tell you, not only is there a resurrection for the Christian, but there's a resurrection also for the unsaved. You want to get this. There, everybody, everyone will be raised from the dead, saved or unsaved. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please. I'll show you the resurrection for the unsaved. Revelation, toward the end of your Bible, chapter 20, and verse number 11 is where it starts. For the unsaved, let's say if someone is here, if you're here this morning, listen to me carefully, you're here and you are not saved, young man, boy, girl, man, or woman, you are not saved this morning. Your body will be raised up, but it's not all at the same time. You will be raised up if you're not saved, and you'll have to stand before God and give an account of your life, and God will judge you, and you'll be given an opportunity to present your case. Why should God not cast you into the lake of fire? You see, that's for the unsaved. It's a scary thing, man. Brother, the Bible says, fear God. God who made the sun, it burns at whatever degrees it burns at, 40,000 degrees, made the sun, and there's millions of suns out there. And they're not scared of Him. You see, going to be raised up. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11. Here's John the Revelator, and he says this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." There's found no place for them. Stop for a minute. There's a great white throne. Guess where it is? Where is that throne? It's not sitting in some country somewhere. No, brother, everything has fled away from it. It's sitting there in outer space. Outer space, and every unsaved man that has ever died, they're going to be raised up, and they're going to line up behind that throne. He said, "I saw a great white throne, and from whose face the earth..." Man, that's a fearful face. "There's found no place." And look at verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great." See, these are the unsaved dead, small and great, stand before God. They're all going to be lined up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Lined up. Millions and millions and millions and millions. Billions and billions of people lined up. Lined up before that great white throne. And here's what's going to happen. Verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." God keeps records. God keeps records. The books were opened. Everything that we've got, everything that we've done, God has it recorded. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their words. It's come up before God, come up before the great white throne. And God said, "You did this and this and this on such and such a day. You did this and this and this on April the 1st, the year 2018. Man says, "How do you know?" God says, "I've got it written down right here. It's all recorded." The man, the person, whoever it is given an opportunity to present their case. They can argue with God. But you know what? In the end, they're going to agree with God. "Yes, I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to the lake of fire." They will agree with God. You see, in the New Testament, all kinds of people tried to twist Jesus Christ up in his words. They never could do it. You know why? Because he is the Word of God in person. He's the Word in person. You can't get around what Jesus says. He says in verse number 12, middle of the verse, "The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Here's what happens. Somebody dies today, their soul goes down into hell. They're not saved. If they're not saved today, their soul goes down to hell, their body goes in the grave. They stay there until this judgment, the great white throne judgment. At that judgment, God will take their body and raise it up out of the grave. He will take their soul up out of hell, and he will put them back together. And they'll stand before God, and they'll be judged there. Then at the end, they'll be cast in the lake of fire, body and soul again. And that's where they will spend eternity, see. That's an awful thing. I don't even like to preach about it. I don't like hell. I don't enjoy preaching about it one bit, you see. But it's still there. It's still there. I mean, you go to a place where there's no hope. Go to a place where there's no light. Go to a place where everybody, the atheists, you know, they say, "We don't want anything to do with God." Okay, there's a place for you. There's a place where you don't have anything to do with God. There won't be any sermons down there. There won't be any Bibles. There won't be any hymns. There won't be anybody coming around witnessing to you. There won't be any of that. Nobody will remind you. But they will have a memory. That's an awful thing, is a person's memory. You see, that's where they're going to go. No hope. No rest. No rest. Oh, God, give me rest. No rest. No insomnia. Eternal insomnia. You see, that's what it's like. That's the resurrection for the unsaved dead. Verse number 14 says, "Death and hell." That's the body and the soul. "We're cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Folks, nobody has to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, God loves you. He wants you to be saved. He has done everything for you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus bore your sins in His body on the cross. Suffered. suffered all the pains of hell for you, so you don't have to go there. Your part is to trust Him, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. You can do that. The way you can do that is to believe and call upon His holy name. You can do that. That's what we want you to do. I want to help you today if you're not saved. I'm going to ask you to come in just a second if you're not saved. Christian, let me ask you something. That's not, you know, there's not a whole lot of application in here to us, the Christian life, but how is your life? How is your life? Are you living for the Lord? I've tried to preach to you, especially the last 2 weeks, the things that God has done for you, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and salvation. And God expects us to live for Him daily, every day. Is your heart cold? Is it indifferent? Is it complacent toward the things of God? Are you spending too much time on a bunch of other stuff? Vanity is vain stuff that means nothing. You spending too much time on that? Please get right with God and serve the Lord. And if you're not saved, I hope you'll come today.